This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and I would like to thank Nelson Aquino. I think that's probably how you'd say that, or Aquino. Nelson is a platinum-level amplifier with us here at Free Talk Live. So thank you so much, Nelson. We appreciate that so much. That means that Nelson is helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you would like to learn more, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can find out what perks and benefits you can get for becoming an amplifier, and also just help to get our message out on the air, which we would like to thank Nelson for being a part of helping with. But with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Nikki.
And we have Turd Ferguson from Pennsylvania on the line. Turd, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, so as many of you may know, in a city that I hold very near and dear to my heart, a city that I love so much, a large cargo ship crashed into a bridge.
You love Baltimore?
Key bridge. Yeah.
I'm judging you. Oh, please turn your radio off in the background. I can hear myself. Or if I'm on speaker, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So anyway, as I was saying, the cargo ship crashed into a piece of key infrastructure in the United States. And statistically speaking, from the Department of Commerce, we know that actually the Francis Scott Key, the port underneath the Francis Scott Key Bridge, pulls in about number 17th in the United States for imports in every port in the United States. So I've watched this video of this ship crashing into the bridge many, many times now. I've zoomed it in, and I've watched it at a couple different angles. But at first, it looks like there's maybe like a power shortage.
That's been acknowledged, that there was a power outage. And it happened once, then turned back on, and then went out again. But go ahead.
Yeah,
I have a lot of things to say. I just was researching this today.
That is what it looks like. But look, I've watched this now a bunch of times, probably a few dozen times now. And if you zoom this in really hard and kind of watch the seconds before it crashed into the bridge, it's very apparent that at first the ship is going to miss the bridge. Like there's no way it's going to hit that pillar. And then at the last 2 or 3 seconds right before the crash, the ship kind of veers hard right and makes a beeline right for the pillar at the far end of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And that's
weird.
I noticed that as well, and when I was watching it, it did seem like it was almost intentional. And I know there's the story of the power outage, and I wouldn't know how to operate a ship like that, so maybe that is a possibility that they lost all controls and then it veered way off to the side and hit the pillar. But it did seem like something that – it didn't seem accidental to me. I just don't know how that happens if it's going straight and then all of a sudden it seems to purposely hit the bridge.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's just what it looked like to me.
Yeah,
this is like an enormous ship we're talking about here, and it weighs, 100 tons, the ship alone, plus all the cargo on it.
So it like couldn't just be like currents or something, is what you're saying?
At the last second, it veers hard right. I mean, that's just not the way like physics works. I mean, somebody turned that ship at the last second.
Yeah, I was looking at it. And of course, I saw that same thing, so I'll watch it a couple more times where it looked like it turned. But I want to use, you know, like quotes with the word looked, because it's like at night, it's dark. When it goes dark, you can't see all the features on it. And so I was a little confused by what I was seeing. So maybe I'll like watch it again and see if I can see that it turned. But my actual impression is that ships that are that big, you know, the whole thing happened in the course of 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They can't really change the direction they're going that fast at all. So to me, it almost seems like it was heading for it to begin with, you know.
No.
That's
it's very clear. Yeah, so first of all, it is dark. But if you turn the gain up, like if you put it in like a film program and you turn the gain up so you can actually start to see the corners of the ship and things like that and make it brighter, then it's very clear what happens. The ship, it makes a hard veer to the right, like about 3 seconds before it crashes into the pillar.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no physical way possible that could happen unless, A, they dropped an anchor starboard and it made that hard port turn because of physics, which they already said that there were no anchors dropped. So the only other possibility, physically speaking, I mean, like, we're talking about basic physics here. The only other possibility is that ship was turned. And I'm not saying that the captain of the ship turned it, but all these ships are run on computers.
Yeah.
Now.
No, I'm thinking the same sort of things. In fact, I mean, your argument's a little bit maybe even more extreme than mine, because I was looking at it and in my opinion, I was saying that I think that it was already heading for it, but you're saying you think it turned into it. But yeah, these systems are controlled, and there's only so many different like manufacturers for them, and they use something called CAN bus. A lot, where everything is basically on like an Ethernet kind of plug, and they're using that to communicate everything in the ship, and you know, from the rudders to stabilization to batteries to the levels in tanks to everything is like controlled on these CAN bus systems. But that kind of thing is, you know, you could hack it and stuff like that.
Sure.
And, you know, we know that, like, the U.S. government claims responsibility for taking down the Iranian nuclear thing with a virus that got transferred from one thing to another thing and then caused
When did that happen?
Oh, boy, I don't know what year it was. It was
a while ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. They somehow got, like, a corrupted file, a virus or whatever, and it jumped from one piece of equipment to another one, but this was intentional. They were planning on it working that way, and then it just made their centrifuges spin so fast that they destroyed themselves.
Did it, like, melt down?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't have melted down, but it because it wasn't a reactor. It was a centrifuge. It was for purifying the probably uranium. But in any case, like, yeah, I kind of wonder if something like that happened here. I mean, I hate to be
that's what I thought, and I'm actually glad this is coming up, because that was my initial thought. I was watching the video, and I saw what Turd saw. Like, that was my initial reaction to it, where I watched it a couple times, and I'm like, it's going straight. It's going to miss it. It's going literally in between the pillars, and then all of a sudden, at the last second, it crashes into the pillar. Like, it takes a hard turn into the pillar. So to me, I'm like, how would that happen unless they were intentionally steering it? And then I saw the power outage theory, or I guess that was confirmed, allegedly. So I'm like, okay, maybe that would make sense. Like, I don't know how to control a ship like that. But I was really getting a sense, like, did something get hacked? Like, it seemed like it was intentional, because it hits the pillar, and then the entire bridge just goes down immediately.
Sure,
very, very dramatic.
Sorry to be inappropriate, but it's kind of fun to watch. I like watching things wreck and blow up.
Turd, do you know anybody that was affected in any way, since you said you love Baltimore?
Well, everybody's. I mean, look, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, not only is that key, and I'm glad you asked that question, because it leads me to my next point.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, you've effectively, if you attack a bridge in that exact way that's right next to a port, and you block the entire river, and you take out a bridge, you've now effectively disabled two key pieces of infrastructure in the United States.
The bridge aspect is the least important part.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking You're talking tons and tons and tons of metric tons of cargo every single day in the port, and then 35,000 cars in Baltimore going across that bridge every day. I mean, you've done tremendous damage to the United States economy by taking out a bridge like this that's right in front of the port of Baltimore. And if I, like, I don't want to speculate, but I am saying that if I'm the leader of a foreign country and I don't like the United States and I can't commit a terrorist attack because it's going to be obvious. They're going to come after me. Then what's the second best way to really harm America? Well, you can really put a dent in the American economy by attacking key pieces of infrastructure in a way that looks like an accident. I think the Iranians have the infrastructure, the computers, and certainly the hackers. They're very smart computer engineers over there. And the Ruskies are also very intelligent.
Yeah, America basically admitted, I think, to exploding their Nord Stream pipeline, so maybe this is payback.
Sure. That's a great
point. By Ruskies, you mean Russians, right? Just saying for the listeners who might not know that.
If I could make a couple things, you said it was the 17th, and you said in terms of imports, but I think it's supposedly the ninth largest port in the U.S., and I think it's largely exports, a lot of like coal and stuff like that that's being exported and sent overseas, actually, out of that port. I haven't verified that, but...
Yeah, well, I think it's actually three of all the imports. It's well over that one port is well over 150. Actually, it might be 3% of all imports coming into that one port in the port of Baltimore every year. So you're talking billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars of damage that's been done to the U.S. economy in just that 4 minute incident. And I believe that this could be a black swan event. And you know, Ron Paul was on Tucker Carlson just a few days ago predicting a black swan event that could involve the Russians. And I'm just wondering if you take nuclear weapons out of the equation, this would just be a really easy
way. What's a black swan event?
Almost like a doomsday sort of. I mean,
it's like something that nobody sees coming, sort of thing.
And I think that this could be what he was talking about.
Doesn't have anything to do with Mila Kunis, turd.
What?
No. Well, I think Mila Kunis is very sexy.
I brought it up because he loves Mila Kunis and she was in Black Swan.
Oh.
What do you think about Natalie Portman?
Natalie Portman is pretty sexy, too.
What do you think about Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga's hot, but she's not as hot as Mila Kunis or Natalie Portman.
Most people aren't, so I'm not going to be even affected by that because I love Lady Gaga, but Mila Kunis is, like, the prettiest celebrity. I just thought it was funny. This is what the things me and Turd like to talk about typically, but we have important stuff to talk about.
I have a number of things to say about it. Like, there's been a lot of things that have been going down, and of course, everybody kind of has the answers they want to think are the right answer because it kind of links up in their head. But there's a lot of like counter information to it. It's like, why did the Houthis all of a sudden start attacking stuff going through the Red Sea?
Is it Yemen?
Yeah, well, it's the whatever. But they could have been doing that for years, you know, and. And there's just been a number of weird things like this, like the Evergrande.
We know why they were doing that. They were doing that because it was supposed to not. It was their way of harming Israel.
I mean, they're not harming Israel as much as they're harming like the whole entire of Europe and the trade between Europe and Asia.
Maybe it's all they thought they could do.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it's like that's not going to just be allowed to happen. You know the rest of the world's going to get involved, so. It seems to me like these things that are happening are happening on purpose, but maybe even just to mess with the prices of things in the market, because what's a surer bet than actually being the one to create the event that changes the prices?
Like when all those cargo ships were stuck in what is it called in like Egypt?
Yeah, that's the one. I get it confused because the company is Evergrande, but the ship was the Ever Given, or do I have that backwards?
No, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking what
the
is the waterway.
The Suez Canal. Yeah.
Oh, canal.
And that's related, too, because the Suez Canal dumps into the Red Sea, which is where those people are attacking the ships at.
This is saying the Gulf of Aden. Okay, it is the Red Sea. That's what I was trying to look up for the Houthis thing.
Well, yeah, each part of that's going to have a different name. You have the Red Sea, you have the Gulf, which is on the other side, and then you have the Straits, which are the Straits of Oman, I think. I get some of the names backwards, but
so is that basically the same kind of idea as your conspiracy about this whole bridge incident, Turd? Is that they're trying to make things more expensive all over the world, and this is just another installation?
Oh yeah,
of that?
I wasn't done with a couple things I wanted to throw out there related to this. One thing is, I mean, there are ports, a lot of ports up and down the East Coast, so ships coming in can redirect to some of those different ones. What's interesting is how much cargo is locked in the port right now with ships literally stuck there.
Oh, that can't go out.
Can't go out. Yeah. And here's another thing, too. Like, how long do you think, like, just think about, like, the World Trade Centers.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take before they rebuilt that?
I thought they didn't.
Well, they didn't rebuild them, but they rebuilt something else. But it was like...
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, how long will it take to fix it?
Or something. I mean, well, it should take... It should just take, like, a month. Literally, in my opinion, to get the wreckage out of there.
Yeah. So at least ships can go through.
That was the thing I was trying to say earlier. The fact that the traffic way is down isn't nearly as important as the fact that the ships are locked in. Because there's other bridges, and they can just go further down, you know, the waterway and go a different route. The fact that the ships are locked in there is really the big thing.
Well, and it's hard because,
you're talking... Keep in mind, the Francis Scott Key Bridge is right on the Baltimore Beltway. 695 is clogged anyway, all the time. I mean, and if you take out a infrastructure like the Francis Scott Key Bridge, you seriously cause huge ripple effects, not in the Baltimore economy, but the Maryland economy as a whole, and Northern Virginia, the Richmond economy. I mean, you've done serious, serious damage. And on a Beltway like 695, which I know very well, I went to Taos University, for all those listening that know where that's at. I know this beltway.
I know your real name now. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Well, just from taking out the Francis Scott Key Bridge, I mean, you're seriously going to do significant damage to the 695 beltway. And I was on 695 earlier today, actually, and I noticed significantly more backup already. One day after than I normally.
Oh, I'm sure. Because, they can't get past the bridge. They have to reroute all that traffic.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, though, is the traffic can reroute. It's not great, but I'm saying that the fact that the harbor is actually blocked up is going to cause way more issues. Like, if you put dollars on it, you said, okay, everybody's late to work by, you know, whatever, an hour or whatever. You can put a price on that, and sure, it's not, like, nice, but it is what it is.
But it's not millions of dollars. Yeah.
I mean,
it's just, like, stuff that's supposed to be sent to people that isn't getting delivered, but probably more important than that, like something like coal or
trade, yeah. So I'm sure it's, like,
some
cargo
kind of raw
ships
materials.
I'd love to take bets on how long we think it'll be before they, like, clear the wreckage out of the way, because like I say, it shouldn't take that long. You get some underwater divers there and they start, you know.
Yeah, but we're talking about the state doing something, right?
So that's the thing, they're more incompetent now than they ever were before.
Absolutely. So how long should it take? That's one question. How long will it take? That's another question, because I'm just thinking about road work in Keene.
Yeah,
Island Street Bridge has been down for over a year. You know what I mean? And that is a job that should have taken a couple of months.
That's just crazy.
I've never seen
anywhere take longer than New Hampshire for things to get
built. Everything's been getting longer and longer
as I've
been getting older.
I mean, Massachusetts, New York, but I'm thinking of road work that took months and months and months to do. The big dig is a whole other story. Oh my gosh, that was a catastrophe.
In Boston.
Initially, when it was first built, the Francis Scott Key Bridge took about 5 years to build.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Is it completely destroyed? Like,
the whole thing is underwater.
It's not salvageable. It's completely
collapsed.
I mean, they're going to have to rebuild it.
How many people died? Does anyone know? Or did anyone know?
I heard it was eight,
but that was like yesterday that I last checked into this. Yeah, people died. I mean, it was awful.
They really assumed and that's it's kind of offensive the way they handled this. But they just sort of assumed that everyone on that bridge was dead, and some of them were in their cars. You know, some of these create seals. You know, some of these cars are sealed. You know what I mean, there are Lincolns that have been that are airtight, and they didn't even bother to go. What if some of these people did survive in their car and they're down there suffocating?
Yeah.
Because of the pressure, and they're running out of air, and they just left them.
Yeah, they'd run out of air within like a couple hours.
But that's the thing too. It's like, many people argue, well, we need the state. Who would rescue the people that, you know, fall into the lake? If we don't have the state, like, we need all of these emergency services. We need all these services. But people actually fall off a bridge, come crumbling into the water, and they're not even going to send some sort of scuba team down
there. The state
makes
us less safe.
Absolutely. I mean, that is just like such a major disregard for human life.
Well,
not only that,
how many times people try helping people and the state says, no, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, even just like simple things like feeding homeless people. You're not allowed to set up a little kitchen to feed, you know, poor people in your area because you need licenses and all
of this
crap.
That the government stops people from working in general, that has untold consequences for the economy. Just like if you want to work on your friend's house and build them a new back porch.
Need a permit and a license.
Right, exactly. And the government is going to stop you. It's going to come to a big halt for a long time. It's going to cost more money. And no one is benefiting from that except for the state, the parasites. The parasites need an excuse to exist. And, Turd, did you basically get out what you think the conspiracy is? Do you think this is worldwide?
I think the ripple effects will be worldwide. Yeah, like Colin said, there are a lot of exports from that port. But Nikki also made a really good point. You know, the politicians really did drop the ball here. I'm really disappointed in the leadership. I mean, the people of Baltimore are good people, and they deserve better. And, you know, I've interacted with many thousands of people in Baltimore by myself. Just at my time, excluding everything else, just at my time working at Towson Guitar Center, you know, I mean, these people are good-hearted, compassionate, caring people, and they deserve better than what they have. And let me tell you, Governor Westmore and Mayor Scott, they did nothing except virtue signal.
Turd, one other question. I didn't realize I was about to go to break that fast. Well, 603-283-6160. Thank you for the call, Turd Ferguson. Anyone else can call in with their opinions on this or any other subject you'd like to talk about on the air. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told reporters at the White House Wednesday the death toll from the collapse of Baltimore's Key Bridge could have been much higher if not for the swift response of emergency workers.
By the time most Americans saw those images, first responders and rescuers had already been at work for hours to save lives. That quick work unquestionably made an enormous difference.
An investigation into the crash could last 2 years. Customers might soon dub Dollar Tree as a few dollars more tree. The bargain store revealed in an earnings call that its price points will now start at $1.50, with select items reaching up to $7. King Charles III is set to make his first public appearance since his cancer diagnosis this weekend. Buckingham Palace has announced that the monarch will attend Easter Sunday services at Windsor Castle. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnyvae heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnyvae heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnyvae heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bae.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bae.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bae.com or just search for Sunnyvae heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunnyvae.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
You control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to bring up whatever's on your mind. You can change the subject, or you can talk about what we're talking about. If you think we're missing something, if you think you're wrong, or we're wrong, you can call in 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
And Nikki.
And in the last segment, we were talking about the bridge that collapsed in Baltimore. And I feel like Colin had something else he wanted to say about it, but I don't know.
What did that bridge know about Hillary Clinton?
Oh.
That's a great question.
It's always the question to ask.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the grossest conspiracy theory about Hillary Clinton that every time I hear it, every time I hear her name, I think of this.
Her drinking children's blood and...
So, like, that's... worse.
Or shooting it up, whatever she was doing with it.
Yeah, that is clearly a worse thing in general in the scheme of things. But the thing I heard once from some kind of like during like the Pizzagate stuff,
mm-hmm.
people were reporting like she smells like so bad. I don't know how anyone can keep a straight face around her. Like, people who around her are claiming she smells like a dead body all the time.
I heard that about Obama, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Hmm.
I think maybe politicians are just trash, so they just smell.
I always
gotta be one of those emperor's clothes things where, you know, everybody's just like, they're like, don't say anything to him about it.
Yeah.
And they're like,
well,
does he even know? No, just don't say anything.
But yeah, you can't tell.
Actually,
yeah, you can't tell these people they smell.
There was a thing that happened with Obama during the first election when he was, you know, running the first time, and somebody in the audience, a news reporter, asked him a question but said something about his ears. And, like, as soon as the press conference was over, he went down to go speak to the news reporter. And the news reporter is like, oh, come on, you know I'm on your side. We're just trying to toughen you up. And then, like,
oh.
This was caught in, like, audio or by a bystander.
What did he say about his ears?
Just that they were big or something. And he's like, I don't like people talking about my ears or something like that. I wonder if I can find the audio.
It is kind of irrelevant. Like, I wouldn't like people.
Well, yeah, but can you imagine, like, going down and telling them, like, don't talk about my ears?
Oh, okay,
you know, like,
so, yeah, that's weird.
Well, and it's like, okay, I think any human being on this planet is, like, fair game for any sort of criticism, whether it's warranted or not. It's
but not me.
You should be able to say something critical about someone, about their physical appearance or whatever, without... It's just crazy to me that these, like, celebrities and politicians think that they're above everybody else on a level where it's, like, you can't even make a comment about this guy's ears without him being like, you know, I'm the president of the United States,
especially
right?
If it's like done
literally
well, it's
a throwback to the way kings would act.
Yeah.
I guess, like, if I would have to be there to understand exactly the whole situation. Like, was it, like, a good joke? Was it funny? Was it relevant? Or was it, because just going up to anyone and being like, hey, you got
no, no, no,
stupid
ears. I don't think that matters,
I don't know how they did it, but
I could just see why someone would get mad, but I do also
to go confront them, though.
That is the weird part.
But the news reporter said, don't worry, like, I'm on your side, and we're just trying to toughen you up, kid, or something
that's
like that.
That's weird. Well, we were trying to toughen you up, like, that's also, like, in itself kind of weird, but we do have,
you know, get them ready for criticism, but, you know.
Yeah, but, like, why is it your job? It's just kind of strange.
Yeah.
We do have a caller on the line. 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call if you want to get on the conversation with us. But David in New Mexico has done just that. David, what's on your mind?
How's a tiny tyrant doing tonight?
Me? Good.
Good, good. Minnie Mao.
Wait, is that what you call her?
Minnie Mao?
Minnie Mao, tiny tyrant. I'm going to write these down. This is the only thing I'm writing down from tonight.
Yeah, you're giving him good ammunition.
What's actually on your mind, David?
Is that lots of stuff? You know the answer to that question already.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's crazy.
Is that TJ?
No, Colin's on with us.
Wow, do I sound like him?
No. I don't. That was just the best guess that I had because without bringing up video live, I didn't know who it was.
He's bald, so you don't want to look.
I'm not bald.
Anyways, what
you're supposed
what
to say?
Wanna...
I'm just trying to toughen you up, kid.
I'm just trying to toughen you up, kid.
But he's been.
He's been what?
I can't say the rest. I can't say it. It's not allowed on FCC radio.
Been bald?
If I say the next word. You can't say that.
Wait, that means something bad? I honestly didn't know.
Well, now
okay, Bjork.
Quiet. Bjork?
Don't use Bjork's name in vain.
What, is there something, an inside thing about Bjork that I don't know? What's
she has a song where she says, it's getting very quiet.
Oh, yeah.
She sounded, like, so creepy.
So quiet. Yeah. She says it really creepy, too.
Well, you'd be creepy, too, if you were of Asian descent living in Iceland with all the pasty, white, dead-looking people.
I'm learning so much right now.
I wondered
if
she was
Asian.
I thought she was like some kind of like, you know, like Aborigine, but of
like
Iceland.
Inuit
I don't think
type,
it's the same word. Yeah. That's what I always assumed, but I've never
that's
Googled
what, that's
it.
That's what I did too.
What kind of Asian is she, David?
I don't know. It's been decades since I bothered to look up anything about her, but I didn't. I probably did. I may not even have looked it up. Well, here's what happens though. Is it's usually dudes from places like Iceland. Iceland is really, really isolated.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
why I call it Iceland because it's isolated. And the same thing goes for to a lesser extent. The more isolated you are, the more it happens. But these pasty white guys who are my my peers, I'm one of those pasty white guys from the frozen north. They will go about around the world, and Icelanders are Norwegians. That's who they are. They're just in Iceland. They're a different country. But if you go back into history, before modern times especially, they were quite the voyagers, and I'm not just talking about the Vikings, but they have a lust for adventure, and they've gone all around the world, and they often will meet women, you know, wherever, you know, from the South Pacific or from Japan or China or South America or wherever, and they'll marry them and bring them back. And
like the Dutch Indonesians, they're so beautiful. Like, that's a crazy, extremely beautiful mix. Like, it's just crazy how many hits there are. If you just Google, like, Dutch Indonesian women, they're really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they have a dating app in Iceland that helps make sure you're at least, you know, so many cousins removed from the other
person. Really?
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they got it.
I've also heard it's like an amazing place to live as far as safety and crime and
it's really
the culture.
Beautiful.
I do think it's beautiful too. I'd love to go there. I saw a Justin Bieber music video film there.
It's probably the safest nation in the world, I'm guessing.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the safest, but I've heard it's, like, very safe. But the article I was reading was, like, emphasizing how they do not need guns because it's so safe. And it's just, like, they're just not killing each other.
Great. I'm going to invade.
You guys would like it because they had a national mourning, I mean, a formal mourning. I don't mean, like, evening mourning. I mean, with a U, mourning.
Yeah.
That because their cops, for the first time in history, had killed somebody.
Mm.
Whoa.
What
did they say that they did it for?
I don't know. I didn't research it, but obviously it's just a typical thing. They had somebody they were after, and the person did whatever they needed to do to get shot, and that's the first time it ever happened in Iceland.
They've been watching too much American media there.
I'm surprised the cops even have guns there.
Before, they're not bodies. Before the tiny tyrant Minnie Mao hangs up on me, what I called about is I actually caused one of Barack Obama's big Dumbo ears to cock. I did that.
What does that mean exactly?
And I can say that word because, pardon? What?
Well, I'm just asking what exactly that means.
That means that I was at I was invited by the Democratic Party in New Mexico to attend the town hall in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, actually, suburb, the very, very first town hall that Dumbo had after he got elected. They invited me to the town hall. And I heckled Obama after his speech. I didn't really heckle him. I tried to get his attention. And
Did national news cover it?
I doubt it. I never saw anything about it. I didn't heckle him. I just called out about civil rights. You know the stuff that Jay is going through?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so the same kind of thing was happening to me. And so I yelled down the hallway as Obama was walking away. He was like, I don't know, the 40, 50 feet down the hall. Like the classic scene, like somebody walking down a lit hallway, so they're kind of silhouetted. And he's kind of all by himself out in front, you know, with a few straggling secret service behind him, and I call this out, and because he's silhouetted, you can see his big Dumbo ears, right? And as I say this, you see the one on the right side, kind of, he turns his head towards me like you would do when somebody, you hear a sound behind you, you kind of turn your head one way or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I made Obama do that.
I think people usually call that cocking your head, not cocking your ear. I've just never heard that.
Well, they do things differently down there in New Mexico.
Right. Also,
Obama visiting.
I looked up the Iceland thing.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in 2013.
When they, when a cop killed someone?
Yeah, so apparently the story is about a 59-year-old man who was shot by police December 2013. The man who started shooting at police when they entered his building. And he had a history of mental illness, allegedly. And that was the first time that anyone has been killed by armed police in Iceland since it became an independent republic in 1944.
Well, one thing about cops and injustice that we haven't covered tonight, which is really important and I definitely wanted us to get to, is that the Silk Road founder, a website on the dark web is what you call it, I guess, The Silk Road founder, Ross Ulbricht, turned 40 today with 11 years spent behind bars, meaning he spent his entire 30s in a cage just because he ran a website that helped people and that people wanted to use and to go on to. He did more for saving people from overdosing on drugs or getting robbed while going and meeting up with this shady drug dealer than the government could ever dream of doing. Plus, they don't want to. They obviously don't want to because they shut his website down and sentenced him to 2 life sentences plus 40 years for running his website. Ross Ulbricht, the founder of the infamous Silk Road Marketplace, turns 40 on March 27th. He was sentenced to 2 life sentences to serve in prison and has already spent 11 years in prison cells since he was 29. As his 40th birthday is almost here, well, this was written like 2 days ago, the global cryptocurrency community again starts calling on U.S. authorities to release Ulbricht from imprisonment. I think that more people than just cryptocurrency users should, everyone in America should understand this.
It's so insane to me that Ross Ulbricht is still in jail right now. There are people who were convicted of serious, heinous, violent crimes. There are people who have murdered other people directly that have gotten less time than Ross has.
We were talking the other day about the guy that killed a guy who sexually assaulted his son.
Yeah.
And he got, like, it was like, oh, 6 months, but it was suspended, so nothing happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's...
I mean, to me, that's a pretty legit reason to kill someone.
Yeah, I mean, that happened, it was in the 80s is one thing, and it was in Louisiana, so...
that makes a lot of sense.
You know.
If it was absolutely, like, there was, like, it was absolutely positive that that happened, one thing makes me wonder, like, if you were in the room when it happened, why didn't you kill him? So how sure was the guy? But anyways, it doesn't matter because I didn't look it up. There may be information online that, like,
it doesn't matter what you say. You didn't do any research. That's my excuse. That's been my excuse this whole evening.
Yeah, you don't know anything, but you talk.
Yeah.
It's a thing that men do.
That's why we're less happy and less sad.
Just so much serotonin, just sitting around like, whatever.
Exactly.
Baseline.
It's just based stoicism.
Yep. Oh, my God. It says, Ulbricht set up the darknet marketplace Silk Road in 2011. The website ran on the Tor network, which is the Onion...
The Onion router.
Okay, I thought so, but for some reason it sounded wrong.
You're thinking of the funny news, you know, the Onion network.
I think I was. I think that's what messed me up. So... the website ran on the Tor network, and it attracted numerous sellers of drugs and other illegal products and services, but not exclusively. Like, you could also go on there and get things that weren't illegal to buy. And Bitcoin was used for payments. Silk Road could not, but I think it's supposed to say, Silk Road could not help but attract law enforcement authorities' attention. And in 2013, Ulbricht was tracked down and arrested with Silk Road closed down. Many within the cryptocurrency community around the world have been making calls for him to be set free, but to no avail. Ulbricht runs an account on X, or Twitter, and he often tweets from prison. In the middle of March, he published a post...
Well, one little correction. I think he tells the
his
tweets...
His fiancé does.
No, I thought his mom was doing it.
No, it says on there, it says run by... I know, me and Riley were talking about this today. I said I always notice on his Twitter it says... tweets are sent out by my fiancé in the free world, or something like that.
What is it with you women and loving these guys who are in prison?
I was already in love with this guy who's in prison.
I know. I'm making a joke for anybody who's listening. But no, it is a thing. Like, that's what my plan is, to get a girl. I'm going to just go to prison. And
you got to do it for life.
For life?
Wow, that's a commitment.
It helps.
Then what?
Trust me.
I was about to say, what's the point of having a girlfriend if you're in there for life? But
that's and it's like, I hope that means that he just has hope, because it's like, I also didn't know, and Riley didn't know when we were talking about this. I was like, were they already engaged and then he got arrested, or were they dating and then they decided to get engaged while arrested, and are they only holding on to get married? If he gets out, or will one day they get married? I wonder those things,
You should reach out there. You know, we could create a group for all of the women who are dating married to freedom fighters. Yeah.
Okay. And I was going to say something. If you're just going to say women who are married to guys in jail, no, they're all trash except for me. They go to the...
I'm telling Ross's girlfriend.
No, I was
going to
say they go to the jail
that Ian... Hey, I know Ross's
mom. Stop talking for a second. I said the ones that go to the jail that Ian is locked up in. But if you, but since you said married to or dating
freedom fighters
types, that does change things. But do you know how many people have said to me, like, Bonnie, this could be a great opportunity. You should talk to the women. No, they're literally crack whores. You guys don't understand. You need to go. I have to deal with this weekly, except, actually, not anymore.
Wait. What crime do you have to commit to get a crack whore? I'm weighing my options.
Probably some sort of drug crime.
Yeah, just any of them.
I think that's pretty easy.
Possession, distribution.
I didn't know what you're asking.
It's pretty... Actually, if you want one of those, it's pretty... Pretty easy. I'll take you to the street that you'll need to go to in Manchester.
Nice.
So a nice local gal.
Probably down from where my house used to be.
I do need to talk on the show
about... No, actually,
they
used to raid across from my house. I was woken up by flashbangs. Yeah, I was woken up by flashbangs at like 4 a.m. in the morning, a loudspeaker, and it's like...
In New Hampshire?
Yeah. It's like, residents of blah, blah, blah street, come out with your hands,
and
stuff like that. And like they kept playing it on a loop because these people weren't coming out.
Who would come out to that?
Yeah, I'm like, you get shot or whatever.
In Manchester?
Yeah. It's like literally the house across from mine. And I was like, oh, God, I got to sell this place and move out of this because this is horrible.
That's crazy. I don't want to make this whole Ross Ulbricht thing all about me, but the stupid marshal, one of the marshals, I think Ian called him, there at Ian's jail did ban me for 30 days just because I rightly called him. I don't want to get...
They banned you?
For 30 days.
What?
From visiting Ian. And I don't want to say this word on the air because I know it's not an FCC blocked word, but I still think that it starts with an F. It's a bundle of sticks, basically, in England. I called him that because he was gay or something. I don't use that word like that. I use it as in to mean a bitch ass man. He was being a loser.
That's what I call Harley drivers.
That's silly. Well,
no, you never see the South Park with the Harley drivers?
Oh, yeah.
Making all that noise? Like, every time I'm on Elm Street and one of those goes by, I'm just like, oh, it's like, this is so obnoxious.
I hate the loud noises. It, like, seriously bothers my dog, and that makes me mad. It also seriously bothers me. But,
So when was this?
So just last night, I was leaving from visiting Ian. Basically, they take your ID from you at the beginning.
Yeah.
And they always hold it, and there's this desk.
It's like their collateral or whatever. I don't know why they keep it.
And actually, sometimes they hand it back to me. So it's like they all have... Every single time I've ever signed in, it's been a different guard. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have brown shirts, and I think Ian calls those marshals. And sometimes they're a regular guard. And every single time...
They're literally brown shirts.
Yes, literally. And every single time... it's a different one, and it's been, I don't know, 50 times that I've visited him. And maybe not 50, because I do it once a week, and he's been in there for a little over 5 months. So it's been like 20 times that I've visited him. It feels like so much, because it's like so much crap to go through just to look at Ian in a museum, you know, basically, or in a zoo. And so basically, it's always a different person. Some of them tell me, like, oh, here's your ID back, and I never... like argue with them about that. I just go put it in my locker because I'd rather have my ID. But whenever I'm leaving, I just grab it from the desk. They have a desk. It's kind of like I have to go behind it to grab it because it's really hard to explain on the radio, but I have to. I'm too short to reach over and get into this cubby in the desk. And no one has ever had a problem with it, ever. Usually, there's no guard sitting at the desk when I'm leaving. They only come out once you press the button when you get there, and then when you're leaving, they're not there at all. So you have, and I've asked multiple times whenever I've been given the idea, D and not given the idea at the very beginning, and I was confused. I was like, do I just grab it when I leave? And they say, yes, you just grab it. So I'm walking out. I walk down some stairs. I come out a door, and I literally, like, jumped. I was like, ah, because to my right, a cop in a brown shirt, whatever, named Schultz at the Merrimack County Jail in Bosquen, New Hampshire, if anybody would like to call and complain about him. He just appeared, he was also walking out a door, so we walked out at the same time. We, like, you know, we're in each other's personal space, so I, like, jumped. I'm like, okay. I was actually in such a good mood. I was, like, singing a song. And I'm, like, walking down, just, like, back into normal. I go through this door that's, like, a locked door. You can go out, but you can't go back in.
Did they send you a legal notice for this, or he just said it?
No. So let me just finish the story, because the people on the air don't know. So I reach over behind the desk, grab my ID. There's an old man in front of me reaching all the way over because he's taller, and we're both doing it. So I had to physically be, like, behind the desk. There's nothing important there except my ID. There's a computer with a password on it that they use. There's not, like, cop money or something like that.
No, so you're literally just reaching over very quickly to grab your ID.
Yeah, I have my ID in my hand. I'm already all the way over to the, 10 steps away at the lockers, unlocking my locker and about to leave. And this cop says, people, don't be going behind this desk. And I was like, I have to. My ID is there. And he's like, don't ever go behind this desk. And I was like, I always do. They tell us to. And he was like, no one has ever told you to do that. Who told you to do that? I was like, I don't know your stupid effing names. I don't pay attention to your stupid names. And I don't care what you're telling me right now. Stop calling me a liar. And he was just like, just tell me who said that. Just tell me who said it. And I was like, I don't know your stupid names. I don't care. And he's like, well, you don't have to be rude. And I just lost my mind there because I was like, you're the one being rude. You're being rude to me right now. It's like they don't understand that they can be rude.
And he has a weird complex.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is his turf.
And normally there's no one sitting there at all. So if I just stood there and waited for somebody to hand me my ID, which is senseless, it could take forever. One time my locker was broken and I couldn't open it, so I pressed the button to talk to them, and a woman answered, and I'm like, hey, my locker is broken, and my phone, my keys, everything is in this locker. I really need to leave, too. Can somebody come out and open it for me somehow? And she's like, ma'am, we're in the middle of something right now. It's going to be a while. So I freaking broke the locker, and I don't care. It's like every time I go there, that one says out of order, and they've never done anything to me about that. But so
they didn't know it was you.
This guy kept screaming at me, like yelling more at me. I wasn't even paying attention at this point. I had my jacket on, walking out, and I was like, shut up, pile of sticks. And he said, good luck, and good luck, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't understand what he was saying because I said, shut up, pile of sticks, again. And then he went into Ian's cell 10 minutes later and said,
what?
So, your wife just visited you, right? Well, I've given her a 30-day ban because she was mouthy with me.
I'll give him a 30-day ban.
Seriously, it's ridiculous. It's just like all the stupid things that people feel like they can get away with on power trips when you tell them that they have more rights than the person next to them. When you tell them that they are in the right for putting a person in a cage. And, oh yeah, who is going to be attracted to jobs like that? Psychopaths and faggots. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. teamg'day.com. teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.